In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. We're going to be looking at the readings for the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which occurs on June 9th. The readings, the first reading tells us about how Elijah raised the son of the widow in Sidon. The second reading is on a whole different tack, as it usually is, but it's quite important. And then the gospel recounts how Jesus also raised the son of a widow in a little town called Nain, which is up in the north in Galilee. So the theme is obviously then resurrection and healing. And the text in between from Galatians, you see, is all about Paul's call, which is quite beautiful and quite necessary to consider. All right, let's first talk then about the charisms. I think I'm going to be able to give a couple of other sessions to this because it's quite important. See, the economy of the incarnation, which we call the history of salvation, is characterized by extraordinary endowments conferred by God upon certain people in order to carry out the divine plan. The economy of the incarnation opens to the eyes of faith a dimension of reality and of God's presence to his creation that is inaccessible to the mind without faith, because it's what's called the scandal of the particular. Now, I'm going to be relying on an article that I wrote a year or so ago. It's come out in French, hasn't come out in English yet, but it will, because I'm putting out a collection of articles, and that will be in English. So I'm going to be looking at this text as I talk about it in this section. These extraordinary actions, these activities, which are charismatic, if you will, you see, are supernatural. Now, some things are, there's a distinction that Aquinas makes. Quod modum or quod substantia. See, elevating the human capacities to a level that's high. For instance, somebody's seeing something happening which is really too far away for his normal sight. But so it's quod modum. The manner of seeing is different, but the substance is the same act of seeing. Whereas, another way, the human capacities can be totally transcended, like we're going to have today, raising the dead. So that's what we're happening here. Now, you might be surprised to know or to think about, you know, that this text that we're considering, these texts we're considering, you see, begin with this raising of the widow's son. Because Jesus' raising of the widow of Nain is going to be the gospel. I'll just give you a list here. If we look at our forefathers, the Jewish people, a whole list is given in chapter 11, where the operative word is faith. By faith they did this, by faith they did that. Now, in the Elijah and Elisha cycle, we have instances of prophecy, about 8 or 9, the multiplication of food, raising the dead, healing, stopping and starting rain, calling down fire from heaven, 2 instances of that, dividing the waters of the Jordan, purifying water, healing food, as when it, in the book of Kings. In addition, there are instances of similar charismatic activity on the part of people like Deborah, and classical prophets such as Isaiah, the healing of Hezekiah, and a word of knowledge, as in Jeremiah 11:8. I'm trying to point this out, that the charisms are poured forth in profusion after the resurrection, but they've always characterized the salvation history. There have always been people in God's people who were endowed with these charismatic gifts. One of the most important, which begins in the Old Testament, is the composition of the sacred text, which is the gift of inspiration. Now that we know, that some of this was oral tradition, some was written, some in and finally brought together by the authors who had gave us the Old Testament. In every stage of this, in a hidden or overt way, there was charismatic activity. So, I'm going to read this paragraph for you. It's mine, so I can read it without infringing on copyright. While other instances of this type of charismatic activity can be found in the Old Testament, the most important of the charisms are connected with the composition of the sacred text. This includes the words of the prophets, as well as their lives. Jeremiah's life is the model for the description of the suffering servant. It also includes collections of material and the composition of narratives, the gathering of the wisdom material in the Psalms, and the subsequent forming of the whole collection. Every stage of this process, a process much more intricate than the earlier commentators imagined, derives from a charismatic gift. To quote Aquinas once again, because he paid a lot of attention to this, what I'm doing, you see, is since we're going to have 2 charismatic raisings from the dead, I thought it was a good time to reflect on this and to continue this reflection for the next couple of weeks. Now, this is Aquinas. After the level of those who receive revelation directly from God, another level of grace is necessary, because men receive revelation from God not only for their own time, but also for the instruction of all who come after them. It was necessary that the things revealed to them be passed on not only in speech to their contemporaries, but also as written down for the instruction of those to come after them. And thus, it was also necessary that there be those who could interpret what was written down. So there's the actions, there's the recording of them, and there's the interpretation of that recording. That also is a charismatic gift. So you can go to school, you can learn Hebrew and Greek, you can learn the historical critical method, blah, 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 but interpret the text requires a participation in the gift of prophecy. A degree helps, it gives you the raw material to work with, but it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. This must also be done by divine grace. And so we read in Genesis, does not interpretation come from God? That's Genesis 48. And then there are other texts in the New Testament. Again, this is Aquinas. They are also called prophets in the New Testament, besides the ones we know about, who expound the prophetic saying of the Old Testament, because sacred scripture is interpreted in the same spirit in which it is composed. And so you see, the most outstanding gift given to Israel was prophecy, to prepare the world to understand the gift of God's Son, the Messiah. So I'm going to read another quote of Aquinas, and then we'll move on. The Jewish people were chosen by God in order that Christ be born of them. Therefore, it was necessary that the whole state of that people, the status of that people, be prophetic and figural, as Augustine said. And for this reason, even the judicial precepts, the law, handed on to that people are more figural than the judicial precepts handed on to other people. And thus, even the wars and actions of that people are expounded mystically. He doesn't mean imaginatively. He means seeing how these acts are an anticipated realization of the mystery of Christ. You see, thus even the wars and actions of that people are expounded mystically, but not the wars and actions of the Assyrians or the Romans, even though they were far better known among men. And so, you see, we're talking about this charismatic activity in God's people, which begins a charismatic faith. Abraham called out of nowhere to leave land, father, clan, and set out wherever God is going to lead him. That's why I think it's Martin Buber who calls Abraham the nomad of faith. He's just following God wherever God sends him. And so that's why that section in the letter to the Hebrews 2:1-4, and I'll just conclude with this, I think, because of this, it behooves us to fix attention all the more on what was heard, that is what was preached to us, lest we drift away. For if the word declared through angels was valid, that's the Old Testament, and every transgression and disobedience received its just retribution, that's the law, how will we escape if we make light of so great a salvation, which took its beginning, having been declared by the Lord, confirmed by those who heard it, God joining his witness by signs and wonders and various acts of power and impartings of the Holy Spirit according to his will. That's Hebrews 2:1-4. If this Old Testament is so powerful, so holy, so much to be treated with reverence, what about the account of the reality, the words, the actions, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What reverence we ought to have for those dead. So that's as far as I want to go today, considering the charism. But I think we'll go on with some of that for another time or two, because it's become very obvious that we're called to evangelize, and evangelization includes signs and wonders. People are healed when the gospel is preached. I know that for a fact. All right, so then we'll stop now and go on.